You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Wisconsin Wakes Up here. Back to Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
7:06 right now. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Hopefully you're having a great start to your Tuesday. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And good morning. I'm Brian Noonan. Jamie, it is time.
It is time.
Day two of our Accelerate Your Summer Text to Win Multi-State Contest. Your daily chance to win $100 and a Wisconsin Dells prize package. Plus, every entry puts you into the grand prize drawing. That's $250 in gas and $250 in groceries. That is a great prize. Jamie, everybody's on the edge of their seat.
They are. They're ready. They got their app ready.
What is the first word of the day?
The word this hour is free. F-R-E-E. Free is the word you need to text us using your Civic Media app. Again, if you don't have it already, you can go to your Google store, your Apple store, download it for free. You're going to have multiple chances to win and even multiple chances to win throughout this hour and to qualify because this word is good until 8 o'clock this morning. Again, the word you need to text us using your app. Free, F-R-E-E. That is the word you need in order to qualify for cash and prizes. And who couldn't use a little extra cash and a few prizes right now, right?
Everybody, yes. So love get
it.
That in. You
look
have
at,
until
look
8
at the
o'clock.
Text coming in. Love it.
I love it, too. We will, we'll keep reminding
yes.
you until 8 o'clock. But free, as Jamie said, free, F-R-E-E. So there you go. You know that. But what other do you need to know?
It's a wake-up call in more ways than one. Time for some you need to know.
Well, this is a nice way to start Pride Month, isn't it? An Appleton man was arrested yesterday, first day, after allegedly removing a Pride flag outside the Outagamie County downtown campus and pouring gasoline on it. According to the county sheriff's office, the man took down the flag, placed it on the ground in a parking lot, and began covering it with gasoline. Deputies intervened and arrested the man before he was able to set the flag on fire. Suspect was taken into custody and booked into the Outagamie County County Jail. Rather, authorities say the investigation remains ongoing. Seems pretty cut and dry. But county officials quickly replaced the flag and emphasized that the incident does not reflect the values of the community. Outagamie County leaders said they remain committed to supporting the LGBTQ plus community and promoting inclusion, respect, and belonging for all residents. I mentioned this at the beginning of the show when we were talking about Pride Month. I can't understand why there are still such closed-minded
right.
people out there who feel the need to do this. There's no justification.
The Bible.
No. That's not it. Because Jesus said, love everybody. So let's cut out the Bible stuff and just realize that there's some narrow-minded,
yeah.
really, pardon me, really ignorant people out there.
Yes.
Because why else do you do this? What does it matter? It doesn't affect you. Who
no.
cares? If you don't, listen, if you don't like gay people, lesbian people, anybody in that community, then don't be one. They're not bothering you.
No.
Just by existing, they're not bothering you.
In fact, like everybody else, they're just trying to live the same life
yes.
you are, right?
And they
don't really need you to continue to point out that their life might be a little bit harder or it's just a reminder of why we have Pride Month or
yes.
why we commemorate some of these different groups, these different organizations, these different minority communities. This is why, because this is why we do it.
Because people like this.
Yeah.
And people have been marginalized and harassed yes. for forever.
Yes.
And just because now all anybody is saying is treat everybody the same.
Yes. Absolutely.
It basically comes down to it. It doesn't matter racism, bigotry, homophobia. Just treat everybody the same. If you
right.
treat everybody the same, it's so much easier because then you don't have to remember who you have to hate and who you have to treat one way and who you have to marginalize.
It's also easier when you just leave the house because you don't have to ask any questions. It's true. It's just easy. Just treat everybody the same, because when you leave the house, no questions asked. You go about your business. They go about their business. And everybody just copacetically mingles among the world. Life is hard enough
as Jamie, I can't wear a rainbow T-shirt or people think I'm gay. All right, Cletus, how many rainbow T-shirts were you wearing before? Well, I would never wear a rainbow T-shirt. Okay, then shut up.
In other headlines from Stuff You Need to Know, it turns out that beef prices have now reached record highs, with the average price of a pound of beef hitting $9.64 nationwide. Steak prices are up about 16% from a year ago, while ground beef prices have risen more than 14%. Experts say years of drought have reduced cattle herds across the country. Higher feed costs and other expenses have made it difficult for farmers to expand production. Despite these higher prices, demand for beef remains strong. In fact, Americans continue to buy large amounts of beef, and demand is at its highest level in at least 25 years. Wisconsin has nearly 13,000 farms involved in beef production, but most are small operations with fewer than 20 cattle. An aging farm population is also creating challenges. Many producers are nearing retirement age, and the high cost of buying cattle makes it difficult for younger farmers to enter the industry. Experts expect beef prices to remain elevated for at least the next couple of years, because ranchers are rebuilding the herds, which takes time before more cattle actually reach the market.
I blame all those gym rats who need protein. Oh, we got to eat protein. A lot of protein.
That goes through my mind, too. Yep.
Parker eats like a pound of beef just during the show.
That's not that far from true.
I know. You're all about protein and fruit snacks.
That's right.
It's true.
That's what the young people run on.
Diet of champions. Hey,
that's right.
More as you need to know. Destination Door County awards $318,000 in grants to 5 projects to advance accessibility, history, and culture in Door County. Those groups are receiving a total of $318,852 in the latest round of Community Investment Fund grants from Destination Door County, the Peninsula's Visitor Marketing Bureau. The 5 new awards mean the program has contributed more than $3.7 million to 71 projects across Door County since it began these quarterly grants in May of 2023. Awards in this cycle, which is the 13th, went to a school district, a local government, 2 nonprofits, friends groups, and 1 nonprofit art organization. To be eligible for the awards, projects need to meet specific requirements, because the funds for the program come from room tax collections that overnight visitors to the county pay at Destination Door County receives as part of its agreement with the Door County Tourism Zone Commission. Winning the grants this cycle are Southern Door School District, Gibraltar Historical Association, Friends of Plum and Pilot Islands, Town of Egg Harbor, and Friends of the Door County Park System. So congratulations to those groups on their big grants. Hopefully they use them well.
Yeah,
I'm sure they will.
Yeah, absolutely. Door County. It's every time I hear a story about Door County, it just makes me think of the fact that I need to get back up there. It is a truly special, beautiful place.
You know, there's a lot of, we could go broadcast from the Goats on the Roof joint.
We could, absolutely.
Get you some Goats on the Roof.
That's right. They have some good lingonberry jam over at the Goats on the Roof place, by the way.
Goats on the Roof. I can't remember the name. I just, you know, nobody needs the name. Everybody knows exactly what I'm talking
about.
It's
like the Al Johnson or something like that. I can't remember. I'll have to look it up. But anyway, I was just there last fall, but there were no goats on the roof. There were fake goats on the roof, which was very disappointing for me.
The real goats were on strike.
They were.
Interesting fact. Yes, they cut back on their hay and their feed because it was all going to Frank's Rabbit.
I was so excited that there were just fake goats on a roof.
Al Johnson's Swedish restaurant.
There we go. Yeah. That's right.
Thank
lingonberry.
You, Parker.
Get your lingonberry jam, folks.
There's another place, too.
Yes.
There's one that's like a silo, and there's a ramp that goes around.
Yes.
I saw recently.
Yeah. I've heard of that one. I haven't obviously ever
I'll
been.
Figure out what that
okay,
is.
Okay. Figure that one out, because we do have a bigger story that we got to get into this morning.
Bigger than pie?
Our story is not as good. But
all right.
I would rather talk about pie, quite honestly, because this
you're right. These are big.
This is pretty gross. So it turns out that the Minnesota Republican Party is taking a little heat right now, because they had their state convention last weekend in Duluth. And after They took a moment of silence. I have to pause and choose my words carefully here this morning. They took a approved moment of silence for Derek Chauvin. If you remember that name, he was the former Minneapolis police officer convicted in the 2020 murder of George Floyd. Now, this tribute, Brian, took place during the party's convention. And there are reports that a delegate proposed this moment of silence from the convention floor, and it was approved by attendees through an informal vote. And leaders at the convention, and we're talking about the state Republican leaders, then conducted a brief 10-second moment of silence for Derek Chauvin.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Now, a spokesman for the Minnesota GOP said that in an email that, it, quote, "The moment of silent prayer was a spontaneous motion brought forward from the convention floor and was not held at the direction of party leadership, including the Rep. Danny Nadeau, who the Reformer newspaper reports had earlier asked the delegate not to bring the motion forward." So it doesn't matter whether it was there or not. The fact that there are some people who would have the audacity to do this, to look at a man who's been convicted of murder, who we all watched him kill George Floyd. Now, if you want to argue about what happened afterward, or if you have strong feelings on that, that's your right.
Mm-hmm.
But to look at this and somehow treat a murderer as someone who is due the respect of your political party, and then wonder, gee, how come people don't respect the Republican Party anymore? I don't know. Maybe this?
Chauvin is currently serving more than 22 years in prison. He was convicted by a jury of his peers on second-degree murder, third-degree murder, and manslaughter. That was all in state court. And Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison, as you can imagine, he led the prosecution of the Chauvin case. He has strongly condemned this tribute, as we'll call it. He says that honoring Chauvin was hurtful to Floyd's family. It's disrespectful to the law enforcement officers who serve honorably. And it also ignored that the verdict was reached by a jury and upheld through the appeals process, because Chauvin has appealed multiple times where that conviction has been upheld each and every time, and he has not been released from prison.
Hey, dude, we saw you do it.
Right.
We all saw you.
Yes.
It's not one eyewitness, Idija. The world is the eyewitness to your crime.
When did we start normalizing these things, though? When did we start normalizing that full murder in public view was okay? When did we okay this?
Because the murder became a political volleyball. It was, you know, first it was there's outrage that somebody had been killed. Then it's victim blaming. You know, well, George Floyd's record and George Floyd this. Then it was, look at what these protesters are doing. This is, and so instead of looking at this as what it was, police misconduct and murder, it turned into, now it's going to be a political statement.
Yeah.
It should, the only political statement that should have come out of this is police reform. We must have police reform.
Yes.
But it turned into us versus them. It was, look at what the Democrats and the liberals are allowing to happen in our cities. They're cordoning off areas to protest. And you know why? Because, and then it, then the Black Lives Matter thing started. Why don't all lives matter? I don't know. If you make that argument, you deserve a crack in the back of the head. But that's when it all happened. That's when things just, well, listen. We love to get y'all worked up and then say, hey, Swiper Stays coming up next on Daybreak here on the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
7:22 right now. We hope that your morning is going well. It is time for Swipe or Stay. Our senior producer, Frank, is going to join us now because we are going to talk a little less politics and more about pop culture. And Frank, how are you today?
I'm good. I think we've got some pretty good stories
okay,
today.
Good.
Oh, I like the lineup. Top
to
bottom.
I think we're ready.
Let's see what we got.
Oh, man, is this not working? There we go. Hey,
that's
yo,
really
we're
good
working.
Stories.
I was
I'll
like,
tell you tomorrow.
Boy, that was anticlimactic.
Man,
okay.
Yeah, that is.
Man.
Oof. All right.
A-list artist. Shut up. A-list artist drops surprise track for upcoming movie.
Oh, I know that story.
We know what it
yes,
is.
Go, yes, stay. Let Frank have his moment.
After yet another series of Easter eggs presented, like a suspicious countdown on the singer's website and billboards around several cities around the world, Disney and Pixar have confirmed that Taylor Swift is releasing a new original song, I Knew It, I Knew You, for Toy Story 5.
Was anybody surprised by this?
Only
no,
Woody and
but they're look, it's all in levels, right?
Sure.
There's certain fans, like my wife, that notice the background to the 1989 Taylor's Version album on Spotify being changed from seagulls in the background to Toy Story clouds.
Sure.
Really?
And yes.
Okay. Wow.
This is a glimpse into the Taylor Swift fandom. This is what she does, is she does stuff
yeah,
like this to get the internet in an uproar.
Good for whoever's
it.
Behind her stuff. That's very clever.
Yes.
Very smart.
I mean, she's very good at the marketing of herself. I mean, she's better at laying these Easter eggs for this, though, than anybody will ever find out about this upcoming wedding. It's
the wedding. Listen.
I think she's
Toy better Story
at promoting
5 is
going to
make her a lot more
Pixar.
Money.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and maybe that's what Pixar was hoping. I mean, if you've got Taylor Swift promoting for you, do you really need a marketing department at that point?
No.
No. No.
Because how many people are going to go just to hear the Taylor Swift song in the theater?
Of course.
Yeah.
A ton.
I'm going to go because
Frank will be there.
Toy Story is my favorite
I love
Disney
Toy
movie,
Story.
Period.
Oh, Toy Story is one of my favorites.
I've
yeah.
seen them all, Frank, just so you know.
Yep, they should have stopped at 3. Anyway,
yes.
The song is dropping this Friday. The movie's going to release on June 19th.
Are we going to feature it on Swiper's Day?
Of course.
Okay.
All right.
That's what we do here. Taylor posted saying, I've always dreamed of getting to write these characters who I've adored since I was 5 years old watching the first Toy Story movie.
Awesome.
I fell instantly in love with the movie when I was lucky enough to see it in its early stages, and I wrote this song as soon as I got home from the screening of the current movie. And don't worry, everybody that's a Taylor Swift fan. She's currently selling pre-orders for the single.
Of course she is.
And there are 3 different variants.
Of
you
course.
Can
stop it.
Of course.
All right, that's where it gets a little
Because not
like,
only does she market the movie well, she also markets herself well.
What kind of variants? Acapella?
There's
hip-hop,
CDs.
And...
No. There's an acoustic version and a regular version.
Sure.
Okay.
And there's 3 different CD covers.
Oh, so different
They're
art.
Collectible.
Oh, love it. Lord. Okay.
Okay.
All
this
right.
is what she does.
And her
She's
fans,
a mastermind.
And,
Good
her
for
fan,
her.
Yeah. and her fans will buy all 3.
Now, everybody, I love that everybody keeps saying she. The Taylor Swift machine is doing. I mean, Taylor Swift is very talented. I don't doubt it. But she's not talented at all these aspects. She's got a machine that's working to keep Taylor Swift, the brand, alive.
No. Her publicist, Tree Payne, is truly a mastermind. I don't know what she gets paid. It's not enough. But if you want to go down that rabbit hole, go for it.
And isn't it true that Taylor Swift's dad still makes a majority of decisions and has to be involved in a lot of that?
That I don't know.
Okay. All right.
I know he was an early investor in her career, monetarily speaking.
All right. We've got more stories. Right?
Yes.
Okay.
Could be. Former Wisconsin Badger joins network television.
Stay. It's painful.
I'm going to swipe. I want Parker to get involved.
What do you mean it's
this.
Painful? Stay. I need to hear this explanation now from Jamie.
CBS Country, let's ride. As Russell Wilson would say, former Wisconsin Badgers quarterback Russell Wilson has announced that he's joining CBS Sports.
Oh,
it's important to note that Russell Wilson has not officially retired from the league.
I was going to say, I thought.
Yes, he has. He just doesn't know it.
He was offered a backup role to Geno Smith with the New York Jets just a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
Wow.
Big time.
Now he's going to replace Matt Ryan on the broadcast panel that includes James Brown, Nate Burleson, and Bill Cowher as Matt Ryan returns to the Atlanta Falcons as the team's president of football operations.
Huh.
Is he going to be as cringy on that as he has been on other things? Okay.
Probably. You, all right. Yeah. What a rhetorical question that was.
Yeah, probably.
Is Russell Wilson a Hall of Famer?
Oh, no.
Ooh. We don't have time for that. Yeah. Parker's going to give me wrap-up signals.
That's one of Parker's hot takes on the weekends.
That's true.
We'll come back to that. Love Island USA contestant dropped for language.
Oh, I've never seen a Love Island any country, but I'll stay.
I like Scandal. We're almost out of time. Stay.
This is a quick story. We'll wrap up here. Love Island USA booted season 8 contestant Vasana Montgomery after two videos circulated online of her allegedly using the N-word.
Oh, no.
Oh, and that's how you get kicked off a reality show.
Wow.
This comes right before the premiere of the show, which happens to be today. In the Peacock cast announcement teaser, she said, "I think I'm the full package. I own a business. I live alone. I have a dog. If you were to ask my friends what my type is, they'd show you the world map."
Oh.
But only the white parts of the map.
You know,
Scandinavia. That's what I like.
It did not age well, but I like a girl with some delusional confidence.
I'm an entrepreneur, a dog mom, a racist. What? Huh?
What was that last one? Nothing. Let's do the show.
Never mind.
Anyway, that's Swiper Stay.
Oh, thanks, Frank. Giving us a little reality ending. Now, here's some reality. How much has your health care gone up, and is it affecting your health? We'll talk to you about that after this on Daybreak on the Civic Media Network.
All facts, no fiction. It's Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
7:35 right now. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. If you're listening in Madison on WMDX, in Wausau on WXCO, or in La Crosse on WLCX, we appreciate you being here. Parker did a little research for us. We were talking about the goat farm that's got like the spiral staircase, a little bit like the L. Johnson Swedish restaurant in Door County. Thank you. And you said, Parker, the LeClaire Creamery. All right. It's also a cheese shop, a cafe, and a goat farm, and it's actually it's right on a lake between Milwaukee and Green Bay. So if you want to check it out, they do have like a spiral staircase for goats. That's what I'm seeing right here. So that's kind of cool.
We need to get a Daybreak RV. Somebody who's listening who has RVs, you can wrap it as Daybreak in your business, and then we'll just drive around the state doing shows.
That's
like
right.
Gypsies.
We will.
We'll just
Wouldn't
show
that be
up.
Fun? That would be
It would be
so
great.
Much,
what are you guys
so
doing?
Fun.
We don't tell anybody. We just show up. Where in the world is Daybreak?
And we're not like the white van. You can actually like, you know, come up to us.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not a scary. We're not serial killers.
We're not scary.
We're not scary. Clown ice cream men.
No,
we're
not scary.
Things.
We promise. In fact, we're so not scary that we're going to give you a chance to win right now with our Accelerate Your Summer Text to Win multi-state contest. This is your chance to win $100 in cash or a Wisconsin Dells prize package.
Oh.
Plus, every time you entered, you are put into the grand prize drawing for $250 in gas and another $250 in groceries. And you have until 8 o'clock to get us this hour's word. Brian, what is that word?
That word is free. F-R-E-E. Free. Like free money that you could win on our Accelerate Your Summer Multi-State Text to Win contest. See? Free. F-R-E-E. You have until 8 o'clock to get that word in. More words throughout the day. So keep listening to the Civic Media Network and your favorite station on that network.
That's right. Yes.
And then you get to win.
And use your app to text us right now.
Yes.
You have until 8 o'clock
to
enter.
The app, Jamie, the bane of my existence, only because I can't believe everybody doesn't have it yet.
Right? It's
so
free,
that
people.
Is why.
It's a free app.
Free app. Just get it. Just put it on your phone. You got a million apps.
You can listen to us. Media. You can listen to all sorts of music stations across the state. And now you can enter to win some cash, too. So it's good. Free,
we're
again, is
back.
That word.
That's yes. What we do.
That's what we do here.
All right. Well, you know, we're not giving back, unfortunately, is healthcare. We would love to be able to give out health care money for people, but because, well, the costs have gone up everywhere, we can't. Healthcare costs in Wisconsin are rising much faster than wages. You probably know this. What you might not know is that because coverage is harder to afford for many families, some people are not going to the doctor. So a new UW-Madison report found healthcare costs in the Midwest have increased about 140% since 2000. Wisconsin household incomes have only grown about 83%. I can't do math, but that is a lot of percents that are in the gap between wage earnings and growth and health insurance growth. And because of that, we've talked about this before, people are dropping their healthcare and not going to the doctor. So things are not looking good as far as researchers who say Wisconsin hospitals charge private insurers some of the highest rates in the country compared to Medicare, helping drive up premiums and out-of-pocket costs. So people are saying, I would rather just roll the dice because I can't afford my premiums. I can't afford these copays. I can't. And you go to the doctor and you know you have insurance, and yet you still get hit with a giant bill.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm not, how did this all go up? I'm not making any more money.
We talk about this a lot. We literally live in a world where we have to choose if we take care of our health or if we eat or have a house, right? I mean, that's essentially what we're doing.
It's horrible. Yes.
We're supposed to be. The thing that always gets to me is everybody touts the fact that, you know, we talk about immigration because this is where people want to come. It's free. Life is going to be better here. And I understand that for a lot of people, depending on where you're coming from. But when you really look at how we take care of our own citizens, it's not great when we're making them choose these types of situations, and we can't even give them an affordable wage so that they can then afford insurance to take care of themselves. It's a sad state of affairs when you look at it in those terms. And I hate to be a Debbie Downer about it, but literally, you're dealing with your mom and having to move her. I deal with my mom on a daily basis and her health and the fact that she lives on my dad's Social Security because she always took care of businesses but didn't take pay. And so she lives on my dad's Social Security. She has to make her ends meet between rent, all of her medicines, her Medicare, which has gone up over the last few months, and the fact that, you know, at some point she probably needs food in there too. And she has a pre-existing condition with congestive heart failure. So, I mean, these are the realities that we live in.
We see that with not only people's health, we see it with our veterans, we see it with children and their need to eat, God forbid. So it's for the land of opportunity and the quote unquote greatest country in the world, we really don't live up to a lot of those monikers.
No.
We put profit before everything else. And I'm not anti-profit. I'm not anti-business. I think everybody, if you can make that money and if you can be a success, good for you. I really don't harbor any grudges.
No.
I think everybody needs to be, going back to our conversation about behavior, treat everybody the same.
Sure.
If I have to pay taxes, everybody else has to pay taxes. I'm not saying only the rich should pay taxes, but the rich shouldn't have more because they have the availability of lawyers and accountants and things. The system needs to be fixed so that everybody's out there because it's an embarrassment to the rest of the world. It should be that we have people who have to decide between eating and having a place to live. And these are people who are working. That's what we talk about this all. These are not, if you go, well, they should just pull themselves up by their bootstraps and get a job.
They already are.
Well, these are people who have jobs. Guess what? Then their spouse has a job too.
Yeah.
And they only have two kids, which is not exorbitant.
No.
And even if they had more kids, that's not the point. The point is they're working full time and they still can't afford to live.
Right.
I mean, everybody goes through tough times.
And it's also our farming community. It's our self-employed. If you want to talk about pulling yourself up by your bootstraps, people who have went out and done that and started businesses and also can't afford health insurance and are having to make these same decisions because they also have to feed themselves. They might have to have an employee or two to help them at said store or business. I mean, it is a never-ending vicious circle that we go through in this country. And it's one of those things, too, as I was growing up, my family owned a construction company. And eventually, my grandparents retired, and my mom and my dad branched out on their own. And I used to sit and listen to the conversations because they only had a crew of my dad and two others. And they did major projects, right, where they did custom homes, and they did all of these buildings. And they worked with some of the bigger businesses in the town that we were at in South Dakota. They had my dad and two guys, and the biggest concern that they had, and this was 25, 30 years ago, we have to be able to pay them an affordable wage, and how do we pay their health insurance? Why my parents, as the owners, would choose to go without so that those two guys would show up every day to go out onto that job and do that work with my dad, because without them, he couldn't do the work. Right. And these are the decisions that, you know, we're making. So it's not the people who are just, you know, not working. That's not what it is. My parents worked really hard and they had to make those decisions long before this conversation.
And to be honest, most people want to work. They don't. You may complain about your job, but you know, you got to work. If you're self-employed, to your point before, trying to get insurance. If you're self-employed, and God forbid you're self-employed and you have a pre-existing condition through no fault of your own, that's impossible. For all the years I was self-employed, thankfully my wife worked and she has diabetes, so she could never be self-employed or she wouldn't have any insurance.
Right.
So she has to work at a big enough place that they cover insurance. Mm-hmm. It's when that's your driving decision on how you can live your life, it's a pretty sad state of affairs.
It is.
But there's a lot of money keeping us from having a different healthcare system.
There is.
And that money's not going away. And to the point of the Wisconsin State Health Assessment, I want to get to this because it's upsetting. Just under 1 in 5 Wisconsinites have reported having poor or fair physical health. But among the people with the lowest household incomes, that rate was closer to 1 in 3 because people are not going to the doctor. The report looks at how factors like income, housing, and the environment affect health outcomes in the state. Just over 10% of adults did not see a doctor when they needed to because they couldn't afford it.
Yeah.
Let that sink in for a minute. Now, it's about the same rate as it was the last time they did this assessment in 2020. 94% of Wisconsinites did have health insurance as of 2023. That was similar to the rate reported in 2020. But now 2023, that was 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And things have changed a lot in these last 3 years.
Let me tell you, I know I talk about my mom's health a lot, but I mean, we live this every single day. This is what we live. She's got a bad heart. We know this. We know that, there are times she probably needs to be in the hospital. And she called me a few weeks ago. She calls me frequently. And she'll say, my heart's really bad today. And she'll call me just to let me know. And I'll say to her, do you need to go to the doctor? Do you need to go into the ER? I'm not going to because I can't afford it. I can't do it. I have congestive heart failure, but I won't go into the emergency room, even though I know my heart is failing today, because I literally can't afford it. I'm just going to sit down here in my chair and take some deep breaths and take a nap. That's what she will tell me. And I will call you later so that you know I'm okay. That's what she says to me. And that's how she is operated, because she is so afraid that if there's not something seriously wrong with her at the end of that visit on Medicare, she is going to end up with thousands and thousands of dollars in medical bills that she literally cannot afford on her fixed income.
Right.
I mean, and that's just where we're at. And I'll be honest, you know, as a stay-at-home mom for many, many years, while we ran our own businesses and I did some part-time gigs out of our home studio, there were times that, you know, I'd be super sick. My kids were one thing. I always took them in. But if I'd be super sick, I'd be like, I'm just going to wait it out because I know I don't have the money to pay for whatever this bill is going to be. And, you know, and that is a minor incident, right? Like minor. We're talking viruses or whatever, something needed an antibiotic. But so there are people who are making this choice with serious health issues. And literally, when we're talking about that, for some people, it comes down to survival. It's literally life and death for some people if they're having to make this decision because they can't afford to go in. There's no words for that.
No. And then you multiply your mom's case by how many hundreds of thousands across the country, and the fact that those, like using your example, well, then not only are you affected because your health gets bad, then your employer's affected because you can't come in, and then somebody else might get the whole, it's a house of cards that we've all been told we have to play, and yet there's only one winner, and it's the insurance companies. That's it, and Big Pharma. But all right, well, listen, man, we are upbeat today, friends. It is, oh, my goodness. Well, we will be back. What will we talk about then? Who knows? But you'll hear it on Daybreak on the Civic.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
From Lake Superior to Lake Michigan, this is Wisconsin's Morning Conversation, Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us on the Civic Media Network. It is 7:52 right now. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And good morning. I'm Brian Noonan. Glad you're here. Jamie, people only have about 7 minutes left.
That's it. Yes.
For this word for our Accelerate Your Summer Text to Win Multi-State Contest. Oh, my goodness. Every day for the next week and a half, we're giving you a chance to win $100 and a Wisconsin Dells prize package. And then every time you enter, you are put into our grand prize drawing for $250 in gas and another $250 in groceries. So that is a fantastic prize. But you have to be listening and you have to text in the word, which is
free. F-R-E-E, free. That is the word you need to text us before 8 o'clock so that you can qualify this hour using your Civic Media app. Don't worry, though. We'd love to have you text in as many opportunities as you possibly can.
Yes.
You have another chance at 9 o'clock this morning and then multiple chances throughout the day. But right now, until 8 o'clock, free is your word to text in, F-R-E-E. So get that in because you can enter multiple times for all of those really great prizes. Very exciting stuff.
Free money.
Yes.
That's what we're giving away. But free is the word. This is, it's sad news. It's an end of an era on Apostle Islands. An end of an era. Now, listen, I am well known with my struggle for Wisconsin names. And I will probably butcher this one, too. The National Park Service is going to dismantle and remove the historic Shaquakamon Point Light Tower?
Yes.
Pretty close?
Yeah, pretty close. Right. Pretty close.
It's in the Apostle Islands. They've determined that the structure can no longer be safely preserved. It's a 42-foot lighthouse on Long Island. It's been battling shoreline erosion from Lake Superior for more than 100 years. That's a valiant fight.
It is.
Officials
a valiant
say the erosion has now undermined the tower's foundation, creating a risk it could collapse into the lake, which I think would be more fun than watching it be destroyed. I'd rather have nature take it and reclaim it
in a
battle of wills between man and sea.
That's right. But this lighthouse has some historical significance because it was first illuminated back in 1897.
Wow.
And it helped, guide ships carrying iron ore and other cargo into the Ashland area during the height of the region's mining industry. And it featured, we're going to get really deep into the history
here. Yeah, let's go.
It featured a powerful Fresnel lens that could be seen up to 16 miles away and was equipped with a 1,200-pound fog bell that helped ships navigate during poor visibility. Now, of course, over the decades, there's been a lot of attempts to save this particular structure, including shoreline stabilization projects, stone barriers. And then there was a 1987, basically 100 years after this lighthouse was built, this attempt 100 years later by the Coast Guard to move the tower further from the water, and that actually damaged the tower and only temporarily slowed the problem. This lighthouse was automated in 1964, which ended the era of having keepers at site, and today only the nearby La Pointe light remains active. Now, my husband is a huge history buff. He loves lakes. And so have you ever been, now obviously this is not one you're going into, but have you ever had the opportunity to go into one of those old lighthouses to see the way they worked and how the keepers lived?
Yes, and it is talk about an isolated, solitary life if you were a lighthouse keeper.
Yes.
It would make some people crazy, but it's fascinating how these things worked. And they are, when you see one, you immediately go back to the past. It really calls back those memories of a different time and thinking about people being in there and what they were needed for.
Yes. And the importance of how we actually shipped goods in this country. Mr. Plowking over on our YouTube chat says, I hope they save the lens. Those things are cool. Yes, they are really cool. We were recently at a lighthouse not too long ago, and it was a very, as you said, very isolated, but it had been a family of a husband and a wife and their six boys in this two-bedroom lighthouse. And it was crazy because they still had their original beds. Now, they didn't even sleep on mattresses. They slept basically on, it looked like a weaving of like leather is what it looked like in these beds. And their double bed was basically the size of a twin bed for the husband and wife, which might be how they got six kids. Who knows?
There's no, listen, and what are you going to do? You can't get cable out there. What are you going to do for fun?
It was absolutely crazy going through that lighthouse and just how tiny and narrow it is, right?
The people had to be very tiny.
They had to be super tiny. And their couches and everything. Like, this is, the tour guide was like, this was the grand couch. And I'm like, it looks like my armchair in my living room because it was about that size. So I always love that historical aspect of them. But in a couple of years ago, this particular lighthouse on the Apostle Islands had some state and federal officials do an inspection, and they officially agreed that the tower had reached the point where they couldn't preserve it anymore, and they had to remove it for public safety, which is why now it's an end of an era in that particular vicinity.
Yeah, it's. I hope now. Mr. Plowking said he hopes they keep the lens. I was thinking that bell.
That giant
fog bell should be on display somewhere.
Yes.
I'm sure there's a maritime museum that might take it or
absolutely.
Just along the shoreline there, just make it as a marker for where the lighthouse used to be.
I have to wonder if it's already maybe been taken out of there just based
on
what we know the structure is, it's not in great shape. So you got to think that maybe they've already taken that size bell out of there.
But why do I see like four guys in a pickup truck taking it to sell for scrap metal somewhere? I always think we're like,
right?
Come on, we're getting the bell.
Hopefully some state and federal officials got involved and had a little bit more foresight than that. Hopefully.
Well, we hope. We hope. All right, listen, if you're on WMDX, we must say goodbye. You're going to be listening to Stephanie Miller next, or you could just follow us over on the Civic Media app and jump in there. Don't forget, you can always get our podcast on Spotify, so follow us there and on Facebook and Instagram at Daybreak with Brian and Jamie. I am the Brian. She is the Jamie. This is Daybreak on the Civic Media Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.